Mechanized attack. At first, it looked like just another revolution. Welcome to Nostalgia, a chronological exploration of every NES game released in North America. I'm Mike.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Joe.
At first, it only looked like just another revolution.
Yeah,
that sounds like it could have been the start of like an 80s love ballad or something. Like It's very poetic. I like it.
The game is about a revolution where the rebel forces are backed by a technology company, I suppose, that can put robots inside their bodies or something.
They're backed by Uber.
Yeah, right. And so the threat is that if this revolution succeeds, the safety of the entire world may be threatened. Have we ever played a game where you're trying to shut down a revolution? Where the people are revolting against the government and you're supposed to be like, we got to kill all these rebels.
Yeah, I mean, is there anything in the manual that is like who these rebels are?
No, it's
are,
just
what
they're
revolting
it's just,
against?
It's just rebels and it's just a revolution. Does not mention a state. But yeah, this is, you are acting on behalf of the state to put down the will of the people. However many of those people may or may not be cyborgs is neither here nor there.
Well, yeah, that was a big thought for me, though, because it's like, some of them are cyborgs, or are they robots? Like, I couldn't tell, because then there's other ones that aren't, so it's like, what?
Some of them are definitely just people. Yeah, some of them are just people, and then occasionally you'll have to, like, shoot one twice because it removes its flesh and shows its robot-y skin.
But all dogs all dogs are robots.
And they won't go to heaven.
They won't go to heaven.
That's a crazy plot, and I think we'll leave it there before it gets any more political and just move on to the absolutely insane cover for this game. Guys, do yourself a favor and just look up Mechanized Attack box art. Make sure you're looking at the NES one, because it's from the POV of the player. You see your arms, but honestly, it could look like your feet, depending on how you curl your toes. It's your arms holding a machine gun, blasting away at wolves to your left, a guy in scuba gear rushing at you from the right, a bunch of what looks like people like on a hunt. Like, they don't necessarily look like they're what they want to be in the line of fire in military combat. They were just hunting with those wolves, and now they've got involved in this. And then just like a giant mech, another giant mech, a helicopter, another helicopter. Like, this is insane. This is an insane cover.
Just to add to it, there's just like a bunch of extra like metal around the title, like holding it
in place
or something.
That's not just metal. That's what I was going to say. The logo is fashioned to look like an Uzi.
Yes, it is.
Oh, wow. Didn't see it until just now.
It's very above and beyond.
And do you know why the Uzi is such a prominent thing here, both on like what the POV character is holding and the Mechanized Attack logo?
Why don't you tell us?
Well, it's because presumably that's what you're shooting in the game too, right? It is a rapid fire gun. But it's also in the arcade version, you actually had like a little, you know, a little Uzi that you would be able to...
An Uzette, one might say.
Yeah, because it was shrunk down. It wasn't to scale, but a little Uzette that... you see, you got me saying made up words. Half the time, I'm not even making them up. The machine gun or Uzette or Uzi had a little bit of a recoil to it. I think that's really neat for 1989, 90. I don't know when it came to the arcades, but a game that early... That while even if you're just holding it down and it's constantly firing, you're gonna feel a little bit of feedback on that, and it's not even the first game to have an Uzi as like the thing that you use to control. That would go to another NES game that at one point was essential. Operation Wolf was the first in the Uzi arcade game, shoot 'em ups, or shooters, light gun shooter games. And now here we are, mechanized attack, going all in on it. What do we think about this arcade shooter?
Well, okay, so I have something. So it's funny that it's sort of the whole branding of this game is around that Uzi or Uzitini. And it is one of these games that you can play either with the controller and just sort of use the D-pad as a cursor, and that's where you shoot, and you will shoot automatic. Like, it is fully, like, you're shooting, you hold the button down, you will continue to shoot. And the arcade game had that Uzi, you held the button, you held the trigger down, you continue to shoot. And for some weird reason, and I think it has to do with the fact that, like, just how the light gun works, when you use that, it's all single shot. You have to tap every time you fire. And I think, like, that's such a weird, like, compromise that they had to make for a game where the way that you fire is so central to the game.
So, Sean, you're making me believe that you played it with a zapper or a whatever light gun equivalent.
I did not. I read that in the manual.
Oh, I was going to say, because it is a game that allows you to choose whether you want to play with a zapper or with a standard NES controller. That is a crazy choice to give people. I guess it's because it's coming from a third-party company that they didn't want to force you to buy Nintendo accessories because SNK wasn't putting out their own, or maybe they were, but I don't know. That wouldn't make sense. But they're allowing you the option to play with a controller, and that's really where, like, that's where the bulk of this conversation is going to go, right? Like, it's just that it's an entirely different game when you're playing with a D-pad where you have, like, a cursor moving around the screen, and it moves very fast and very rigidly and not accurate at all, versus a NES zapper where you can literally just duck hunt this thing, and if you point to it, you'll shoot them right away. Obviously, I'm kind of saying what I preferred, but I did try both, and I gotta say, I think what I'm laying down here is just the truth, that the controller is the inferior option. Do you guys agree?
I mean, I would definitely say so, having not played this one with the zapper. It's actually, I think, maybe the first zapper game that I wasn't able to play with the actual hardware. But didn't we have other games in the past that
played like this? Yeah. I mean, maybe not. I don't know about both.
I thought it was that they involved the D-pad. It was like you use the controller as well. I can't recall an example where you could choose to play entirely zapper or entirely controller.
I gotcha. But yeah,
maybe that's true. Maybe Operation Wolf was that. Let me check.
That's what I would have thought, but who knows?
Because I do, throughout this game, I did wonder the whole time, like, I wonder what what differences would be, in my opinion, if I were able to play this with a zapper, because it was a little jarring to me to use the D-pad crosshair.
So I think with the difference, I think there is some balance to it. I think that, yes, it is more intuitive to use the zapper. Obviously, you're just shooting at the screen. But that thing that I mentioned before, where it's all single shot with the zapper, I think that they tried to balance it a bit by giving you the ability to just sort of just lay waste with, I mean, it that's also tempered by the fact that you have limited ammo, though you shouldn't really run out. But there's at least that consideration.
So Operation Wolf did let you use the controller. However, looking at it, a little easier to control than the, and maybe I'm explaining this wrong, but you guys know what I mean? Like, when you're playing, it snaps so fast in the directions when you're playing with the NES controller.
Well, you'll need that.
On mechanized. Yeah, you kind of need that, but then at the same time, it makes it really hard to, like, stop. The enemies are moving, you know? So yeah, it makes it hard to stop, and therefore, like, a lot of times, you have an Uzi, so whatever, like, you can rapid fire, you know, ammo is technically limited, but there's a lot of it. But I did find that my aim just wasn't great with a controller here.
I think I improved as I went along. I was getting a bit more twitchy with the thumb and finding the right line to sort of do like a sweep. And it's also doesn't help that a lot of these enemies do require multiple shots to go down. But it was hard, but it's not unplayable with a controller.
Yeah. I also noticed that it could be somewhat forgiving as far as, like, you don't have to be dead on. I think that, like, part of the square of the crosshair has to be making contact with the hitbox, but, like, you they don't have to be in your sights, I guess.
Dead on. You're right.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be dead on. So, like, that was nice. But I did feel... I don't know if I would prefer it to be slower, but the twitchiness of it did hinder me a bit too. But, you know, yeah, again, it's just getting the feel of it. It takes time.
Did you guys feel any connection between the enemies, you know, being robots, and especially when they're up close on you and everything, to Terminator, the 1984 movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger?
I think that's probably where they drew a lot of inspiration from for the design.
Even looking at the poster for the arcade, it looks like they just drew, if you didn't know any better, you would think that they got, like, his permission. It looks like they just drew Arnold Schwarzenegger onto the poster as, like, a character that you'd never see in the game.
Oh, you mean the cabinet poster? Yes, that is 100% Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yes, and it's like, there's no way that they even bothered to get that approval.
No.
Another neat thing about the game that probably I thought separated it, but is now going to be revealed that Operation Wolf ate its lunch here too. When you finish a stage, there is a chance that you can choose which stage you want to go to next. Not always, but you can shoot either the left or right stage, and that's the stage you'll go to, thus, I believe, skipping the one that you didn't choose. That's cool because they are actually, like, different locations. One time it's like you can go down the cave or you can go up into the sky. You know, it's like actual thematic changes. But does it really impact anything other than, like, scenery?
It's really just the scenery and you get different bosses. Like,
sometimes you're going in a different direction.
Yeah, the direction changes, but you're always going to have regular dudes. And some of them will turn into robots. You're always going to have dogs at some point. I think some of them, like, there are special enemies, like special turrets that are level dependent, or like if you go to the waterfall level, there'll be guys that are shooting from behind the waterfall that look different, but like that, they're just different skins of like an immovable turret. So there isn't too much, like, gameplay variety between these levels, no.
One thing I really like about the Hogan Alley-type games of the Zapper genre, and another thing that I think what made me lean towards putting Operation Wolf on the Essential Games list when we did our votes, was that in those games... the way enemies appear on screen or behave is somewhat surprising. Like, they work into the environment in ways where you have to catch them within a certain amount of time, you know, shoot them, finish them, and then move on to the next and kind of keep your eyes always wandering. I feel like Mechanized Attack, for the most part, was missing that. It was just enemies enter left to right. They don't really, like, other than, like, oh, you know, you're in the sewer level, so their feet, you see, like, little puddles as they're walking around. It's like, they didn't, like, come in with cool, like, scuba gear and pop up from the middle of the water or, you know, come out from a grate or a sewer cap or something. Instead, they just always kind of enter from the left and right, and it made it a little less spectacular overall. Any thoughts on that?
I mean, there's some... guys that just sort of pop up, but it's not like a mechanic. It's not like you have to always be... I know what you're saying, and there are like very close up guys that like you have to have higher reaction speed for, but it doesn't. Yeah, you're right. There doesn't seem to be that same kind of fun with the design of the like shooting galleries you're going through.
Yeah, it's. No, I don't want to say generic, but like it's a lot of it is more plain, you know. And as far as those close up guys, I don't know if they do more damage or I mean they're presumably easier to hit, at least with the controller. But like, are they even really that different? I mean, I'm watching footage of the zapper, someone playing with the zapper, and you know, in the how the zapper works, you know, you get a quick black screen with like a white square right where the enemy was, so the gun can read the light. These white squares look really, really long on this game. And Mike, did you notice that the hitboxes were like really far away or far apart, or rather, like you had a really big hitbox outside of the actual enemy?
Yeah, I would say you had bigger hitboxes. That's why I was saying, like, with a controller, the game is actually quite tough to nail down the enemies, whereas with the zapper, there's a, it just felt more obvious. Like, you're pointing in that direction, and it just kind of gives it to
right.
you.
Right. Yeah. But it also, like, looks, I mean, what I'm looking at right here, and maybe it's because I'm watching the YouTube video, and maybe it's easier for me to actually see the actual white box, but, like, if a regular white box that's on a duck in Duck Hunt is one square, seven squares long. Like almost, it almost takes up. I mean, I'll send you a picture of.
I think
I'm
it's also like I know what you're talking about, but I think like the timing is so precise that it's showing a bunch of these white squares, and I think like there's millisecond differences. They're getting sort of smudged together in the video that you're watching. You know what I mean?
So I would agree with that, but I got to just send you a picture because that is just not what it looks like. I mean, one guy on screen and they shoot and it's one long rectangle. There's no other enemies next to him to be adding to that rectangle. I'll take a screenshot.
I will add that it didn't feel like I was missing at all. So maybe I thought I had better aim than I really did, but first off, they're bigger enemies, they're slower enemies than any duck in Duck Hunt. So yes, this game is significantly less challenging than when those ducks move sporadically across the screen in the later levels of Duck Hunt. But I guess I would just argue again that what you can, your reaction times and what you can do and what light gun technology was capable of on the NES just make this, not a breeze, but comparatively to the controller version, just a much more simpler, intuitive game where I felt like with the controller, even just the first helicopter boss was kind of like a, damn, he's really, the stuff he's shooting at me is really hard to, because you can shoot their attack, so this way they don't hurt you. It was really hard to stop in a way that I could keep my health up. It's one thing to like, yeah, he's a giant helicopter. I could shoot him with an NES controller, no problem. But then to precisely take down the missiles he's firing back at me was a little challenging.
Sorry, I'm very invested now.
I want to see this. I want to see the screenshot. I'm sure everybody who's listening wants to see the screenshot as well.
We'll beam it right into your headphones.
I guess I'll just hit with some little trivia then on the side here for a minute while Joe does that for us. Sean, you'll be interested in this.
I doubt it.
At the title screen, using only the controller.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. Using only the controller at the title screen, you can't do this with the zapper, unfortunately. You hold down, left, the B button, and the select on controller 1. Then, with a controller plugged into the second port, you press right, A, and B at the same time. When you release all of those buttons,
you get to a debug screen.
Yep. Called system construction figure, which is a really weird terminology for a debug screen, right?
Yeah. This whole it's also really hard. Like, I tried it, and you have to really, like, contort your hands to get this to work. And it's just really weird that this is here, and it's really weird what they put here.
Right. So now the debug screen obviously lets you do all the things you would expect you can do. Enable music, disable music, play sound effects, change the amount of lives, ammo, grenades, continues.
And then you have a woman.
Yeah, there's a woman that appears as your cursor. Yeah, she's the cursor between these options. And in addition to everything you can control in terms of your lives and your ammo, you can also control this woman's clothing. And you can do this by, she is fully dressed when you first start with her. And then by changing, you know, the different things that you can configure, such as your lives and your ammo and stuff like that, by changing those to specific values, you can eventually, like, strip her one by one. You can't just jump to the naked lady by going to the final values. You have to purposefully first remove the top, then her bottom, then her bra. It's
insane.
Let's
just keep going. All right. Yeah, it's very strange. This has to be, like, I don't know how anybody figured this out, unless this was sort of, like, scraped from a ROM or something. Like, I find it really hard to believe that some kid just found this playing in 1990. Like, there's so many, like, just the combination of buttons you need to get there, and then something that 100% would not be approved by Nintendo if they knew it was in there, like this weird stripping thing. It had to have been like some rogue developer just like, I'm going to do this, and they're not even going to know that it's in there. Like, it's fucking crazy.
Or, like, was it just not even like a rogue developer? It's just like while he was doing it, he was like, you know what I want to do right now? And he's like, I'll just put it in the game and I'll just make it so it's only accessible in the debug menu.
Yeah. Maybe. It's super strange.
It's very strange, especially because you have to strip her clothes one by one, which makes the whole thing just feel dirty.
It's very icky. Even though,
dirty enough to begin with, right? It's very X-rated. It's like crazy that it's in an NES game because, you know, there's nipples and you're removing the panties and everything. So there's nothing left to the imagination here. But you have to, like, say, like, oh yeah, first the jacket.
Yeah, I know.
You know, okay. like take the jacket off.
Mike,
you know,
you're taking us on a really weird,
right?
weird adventure here.
So that's a thing that you can do in this game that may, depending on who you are, be something
make this
more
essential or inessential.
Hey, I was gonna say just make you spend more time with the game than you might have intended otherwise.
When we had the Patreon mailbag episode, we did say we were going to get more into stuff like this going forward, so here we are.
Well, I'll tell you something even crazier, Joe, because it goes beyond undressing her, okay? Inside the, like, actual code for the game, so if you were to dump this entire ROM and see all of the assets, right, you can see all of the
assets.
Yeah, the assets, right? No, you can't turn her around. Instead, you can see that there actually at one point was going to be a bra that she could wear on the debug screen, and that they didn't feel the need to even include it. They just left it as unused graphics.
Cut content from the debug
on the cutting room
floor.
There's cut content from the debug screen that they refer to in the game as system construction figure.
So yeah, the mechanized attack devs are perverts.
The worst part is she doesn't even look like any of the characters in the game. And I don't mean like, why would she? I meant like she does it like stylistically. She doesn't look like she belongs to the mechanized attack universe
why I think
of people.
That this was a rogue developer that just like, this isn't the art from the art department or whoever, I guess the art department would be like one guy. But this isn't him. This is some other thing. It feels so much like this wasn't supposed to be here at all.
So do we know, like, when and how this was discovered?
I don't actually know.
We don't have a date for when it was discovered, but there's a great website, The Cutting Room Floor, that doesn't date these things, but has everything that was ever, like, ever included in a video game, even in beta versions. They include all that stuff. If you're really into Pokemon, they have it all too. It's really cool stuff. I'm looking at the programmer now, Kiora Yumi, who did 4 games, and I wonder if any of those other games have, any kind of nudie screens or suggestive content in them that otherwise wouldn't have existed. But I don't think so, because just a here's something interesting. Okay.
What?
Not on the same scale. No, I can't do my detective work that fast. But the only other NES game that Kiora Yumi worked on was called Touchdown Fever, and we will play it at some point. I don't know when, but we will play it. It looks like 91, so 5 years from now. And in Touchdown Fever, there is a debug menu for... the formation debug is what it's called. Now, I don't know how much different that is from a system configuration or whatever they called it here. They called it a system construction figure. The formation debug screen on Touchdown Fever just seems like it lets you... it doesn't seem like it lets you do much of anything. It's just kind of another screen. So all that to say... You know, as the programmer, you would think you're the one who has the most control over these things, but they didn't have you strip down an NFL player in the debug screen for Touchdown Fever.
I think maybe he got fired from his last job because of this, and then he's like, okay, I'll be good now, and I'm going to still make a debug menu, but it will just be sounds and, like, sprites or something.
Okay, hold on. I'm going for one more game.
Very bad boy.
There is something in common here with this programmer and his games having debug modes. So that's interesting. That's just like a nice, it's just a tangent. Joe did eventually post the screenshots for you guys all to hear. And they are long. Yeah, they are long white bars.
For just one enemy on screen, long bar.
Yep, I agree with you here.
Oh my god! Wait a minute. You know what it looks like? It looks like a sensor bar. It's probably supposed to go into the debug menu.
That's probably true.
Yep, probably true. I don't know what else to say here though for you, Joe. It was.
I think we covered the whole game.
Yeah, I think we covered the game.
we got into the debug menu. I think that's the whole game. I think that once you've gotten that far, there's nothing left to talk about.
We didn't talk about the bosses, but they're like fine. There's like a helicopter. There's like the train that turns into a mech. You know, the standard fare.
Do we talk about the grenades?
Yeah, you do have grenades. You have grenades that you shoot with your gun.
Yep. I didn't feel that way because I didn't have the zapper. But didn't feel like I was shooting the grenades.
Well, you have to press. I think you still have to press a button on the controller.
Yeah.
Even then. So it's a little goofy.
But what do you mean?
Yeah. I mean, you have to press the A button on the zap. Even if you're playing with the zapper.
Oh, even if you're playing with the zapper, you have to. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That
you have to like hold a controller.
I feel like that's kind of cool. You can do like a throwing motion, pretend it's got motion controls,
and rip the controller out of it.
Yeah, just bite the cord.
Yeah.
But then wait a minute, you press A on the controller, then how does it know where you're throwing the grenade?
Oh, it's still reading
where you're pointing the gun.
Yeah.
Oh.
There's just no second trigger on the zapper, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Huh. Think we should pull the trigger on the next segment. The Essential Games List. It's a shoot and a miss from Mechanized Attack. I'm not that funny of a person, but I think that I could probably say more, and I'm sure there are some people who either love the arcade game, which this is not. I just want to say, I have seen the arcade game. It is a lot more exciting than the NES port here. But also, I'm sure there are people who this was their favorite NES Zapper game because they never owned Duck Hunt or something. I don't know. But even if they own Duck Hunt and they decide this is their favorite, I get it. The Zapper games age differently. And this is the one where one complaint is enough to just like keep it out of favor with me. And I really just didn't like that, for the most part, as a shooting gallery kind of game, it's just... the thing that is going to bog you down the most is whether you can take down the enemies fast enough, not necessarily, you know, catching them or managing them. It's just a matter of how many can they throw at you, and can you shoot their bullets back at them before their bullets reach you? So that's a game, and that's a choice, and I choose not to play it. Sean?
Yeah, I guess we kind of played two entirely different games, so I still had, there was still a challenge, and it didn't feel as, like, I guess, reductive as you're describing it, though I would imagine...
No, there's a challenge, but hold on, I don't mean to say the game was easy, it wasn't, it was a little easier with the zapper, no question, but what I mean is that... There is, like, there's no flavor to the enemies.
But that's what I was gonna get into. Okay. Like, yeah. I didn't find it to be so cookie cutter to describe it as, like, yeah, you shoot and they shoot. But, like, yeah, there really isn't enough here for this to be memorable. This will be one of those games that Joe and I forget ever happened. And... I'm speaking for Joe here. Maybe I shouldn't, but
no, you're fine. You're absolutely right.
I will think it's funny that there was some nudie debug menu, and I'll be like, "Huh, what game was that?" But I won't remember that it was Mechanized Attack. So thus, it is not essential. And even if I did remember it, the debug menu isn't enough to make it essential. So no,
Joe.
Yeah, I will say that there are plenty of essential games that I don't remember, like until somebody reminds me of what it was. But yeah, we all know that I love a good zapper game, and unfortunately didn't play this as a zapper game, so reviewing it as just a, with, you know, using the controller, definitely I'm going to say not essential. It I don't want to say it bored me. I mean, it was fun. There was some twitch reflexes involved, you know, there was some, you know, the minor adrenaline that comes with it, but even, I'm imagining now, if I had played with a zapper, I don't think it's doing... It's a very basic zapper game to me. So maybe this is a case that, like, hey, the earlier you get your zapper game into nostalgia, the more likely I am to review it positively. But, like, once I've seen it before, then it's less likely. But, yeah, this didn't blow me away. So I'm going to say not essential.
And if anybody feels differently, just let Joe and Sean know. They can be reached directly. Guys, feel free to give out home addresses.
I will be at Madison Square Garden on April 28th. So I'll see
you
there.
I would hate to find out that something happens to you. However, it is April 28th.
Whoa.
Is that when this is releasing?
No, May 10th. I just wanted to, like, play with you for a second. But yeah,
that would have been great.
It's already happened.
Going to Madison Square Garden.
So.
Hopefully I'll get
safe.
Tickets to something at Madison Square Garden on April 28th, and I'm like, well, now I can't go, because I just told people to meet me there.
Joe, how was it?
That was great.
See, yep. Simultaneously living in the past, present, and future, guys. This is what they were singing about all those years ago on Abbey Road. Next week...
No, that's the end of the episode.